you know, that others are able to eat of the fruit of our lives wherever we are. When others, I'm sure everybody here has experienced this, and I think it's a good prayer for all of us to pray, to see fruit born in other people. Isn't it wonderful? I have a couple young ladies, they call me this, so they're just delightful. It's such a joy because they're hungry to gain understanding. Like we were talking about their first line, they're hungry. I'm hungry. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to, whatever, what can you feed me? Whatever you can. And we get together and just talk, and they're doing that on their own. It's not all coming from, what a delight to see and to be able to, you know, set a table, if you will, of the fruit of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Everything you've been through, everything you are, you have a fruit. If you've walked with God through that, you have a fruit that others can eat. And what a delight. But there's two parts of that. I just wanted to point out, you know, their hunger. They are hungry. And they bear fruit. And I get to watch them bear fruit. And it's just a joy beyond measure to see the fruit born in their lives and to know that's going to continue to bear fruit. Their fruit is going to bear fruit. And, you know, an interesting thing about fruit is also that, you know, fruit, as we said, carries seed. You cut open an apple, what's inside? The seed there. Fruit is designed to bear additional fruit. It has the capacity within itself to bear fruit. So again, the fruit in your life is not just temporal, it's not just here, and if we can get a hold of that to understand the value and to see our lives maybe completely differently and to maybe seek God in that way, a little more fervently, to yield to him afresh, perhaps. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we close, but fruit is born by the Holy Spirit, but we do have a measure of responsibility to it in that of yielding to God, right? Being hungry to be tilled soil, being willing and pliable, being yielded to him. Because, you know, he'll let you get stiff-necked. Right? I mean, maybe not for long, but you know what I mean. We can do it. We're going to have a dry season. We're going to have a season where we're not bearing fruit, right? So there's a responsibility in our lives that it's born of the Holy Spirit. There is a responsibility of us to be good soil, to not have seed sown by the wayside or on thorny ground, right? I already did that scripture. I just have another key here. I think we already talked about it, of bearing fruit, is being fervent for the Lord in the things of God. Being fervent. You know, in every one of these things, it's not, again, getting condemned about something. It's saying, if we see that, wow, I'm not really being fervent for you, God. I haven't been. To pray. How many think God will revive you to himself? To repent. Say, God, I'm so sorry. You know what? You are just totally right that I've let the things of the world and the cares of the world choke the seed. I've been wrapped up, as Rich said, that we have to intentionally do these things. We need to intentionally have time to spend with him, intentionally allow the tilling, intentionally let the light shine in us. God, show me if there be any wicked thing, or just quicken me. Why am I not bearing fruit? What's up? Why? And ask him, and he will tell you. And then we just deal with that, and then we ask him, and if we're not feeling fervent to the Lord or the things of God anymore, I say, God, I want to be fervent for you. Forgive me. We'll start there. Forgive me. He said he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us, right, from all unrighteousness. God, I've put other things first, or my mind has just gotten entangled, and I want to be fervent for you. I'm going to go there with the lukewarm church. Everybody buckle up. It's okay. This is not an attack. Right? That's why God said all scripture is profitable, right? It's profitable that the man of God may be complete, and fit for every good work. Misquoting a little bit. So Revelation 3:15 talks about lukewarmness. It says, I know your deeds. He's talking to the lukewarm church. I just have a little side note here. Psalm 139 says, you know, he knows our deeds, but you know my thoughts are far off. He knows what we do, but he knows what's in us too, right? Even afar off. It says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. And I wish you were one or the other, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I just want to talk really quickly. You know, what does hot for God look like? Does it have to be jumping around, yelling and screaming? You know, I mean, that's fine. I do that sometimes. But hot for God looks like someone who's fervent to seek him and fervent to be a disciple, fervent for the things that we just said, sometimes in the very quiet places in our life, is hot for God. In our prayer closet when we're confessing and saying, God, forgive me. For what we were just talking about. God, I want to be your disciple. I'm going to choose right now. You're right. I'm thinking of my own understanding. I'm following something that's not your way. It's the way of the world, and I repent, and I ask you to help me now. And his anointing comes, and we walk in that. That's hot for God, I believe. You know, seeking him, being fervent to seek out the things of God, being hungry for his word. If you're finding you're not in a season where you're hungry for the word, well, ask him. Like Rich said, those are prayers God answers. So it's not outward words or actions. I could say a lot of things that sound hot for God, but I could be, you know, as lukewarm as can be. If you have discernment, you might tell. If not, but it doesn't change what's inside of me, right? So hot for God is someone who's devoted to him, devoted to seeking him, that he's your first love, that he matters more than anything, that bearing fruit for his kingdom is number one in your life, or seeking him is number one. He's your love. He's what you have your eyes set as flint on for your eternal home with him, right? Passing through this life, but my eyes are on you, Lord, and I know where I'm going. We started by talking about eternity, right? And you know, we are all heading for eternity. There's not anyone who's not. There's not anyone who's not. We all are. Our eternal places with him. But God has a purpose in this life, or he would not have established it. And that is for the revelation of himself, I believe. So being fervent for those things, keeping that fresh, keeping our salvation fresh, staying humble, keeping that fresh. And, you know, so then I said, well, if that's what hot looks like, then, you know, what does lukewarm look like? What does cold look like? And if we read a little farther on, it says right here, it says, you say that I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know, so I'm saying, yeah, I got everything, Lord, and we can get so good with that we kind of start having the sense of needing God so much. These are things in our heart that I think we all know about and just allow God to transform or repent of. I said, it looks to me like becoming disillusioned with our own condition, losing sight perhaps of the radical work of salvation in our lives, right? For those that are saved and born again, you know? God's kingdom, I said, is radical. It's turned upside down. The kingdom of God, right, is different than the kingdom of this world. Is might as well just turn it upside down completely. You know, perhaps losing a sense of reverence or gratitude, awe, you know, that keeps us in the humility of his grace. I think that might be what lukewarm looks like too, and cold, when we grow cold. We all go there. It's just a matter of coming out, not staying there. You know, not yielding, not allowing pruning any longer. Not allowing the stony places to be tilled. You know, I think that's cold. So I am going to wrap up, but it's cool how God does stuff, you know. The other day I was listening to a message. Does anybody know who Nikki Cruz is? You guys know who Nikki Cruz is? So Nikki Cruz, I'll tell you for those who don't in a second, he's 80 years old. And if you don't know, he is the gentleman that had a very radical salvation occur with my other, someone that I have admired for many, many years, David Wilkerson, who left a very small little church, I think in Minnesota. God told him to go to New York City. I won't do the whole story. You can check it out. He is the founder of Teen Challenge and now Teen Challenge International, Times Square Church. But David Wilkerson was a little man, tiny, and he obeyed God and he became fervent. He sought God fervently. God took him through a season and he yielded to that season. He said, there must be more. I can't go on not bearing fruit. I can't. He had such a fervency and he fasted for 40 days and God told him to go to New York City. Anyway, I won't tell the whole story. Nikki Cruz was the leader of one of the largest gangs in New York City. And while David Wilkerson was preaching on a street corner, Nikki Cruz put a knife to his throat and he said, I'm going to kill you, preacher, right now. And David Wilkerson said, you can kill me, but I'm going to tell you that God loves you. And God sent his only begotten son on a cross to carry your sin once for all. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Nikki, if you'll receive him right now, you'll be saved. And if you kill me right now, I'll be with him. Nikki Cruz, the power of God came, the anointing was there, of course, when we walk in the obedience of God, and Nikki became radically transformed. Again, long story, start of Teen Challenge, tremendous fruit. and anyway, he's preached all over the world now, probably, I forget how many, hundreds of nations, and this was on his 80th birthday, and he was doing a message. Am I getting the hook? Okay. And, you know, the place, it was Times Square Church, which is, again, the fruit of David Wilkerson's now been dead over a decade. His life and ministry continues to bear tremendous, tremendous fruit, uncountable lives saved, uncountable lives transformed. Times Square Church is in the middle of Times Square, full, packed, on fire for God. And they, you know, they brought him up. And I was watching as they were doing his introduction. He was sitting in the chair with just tears coming down his face because he was so humbled by the work that God has done in his life. And he came up, and they were expecting him to preach, you know, powerful. And the very first thing out of his mouth, Roger knows, he said, how many of you have been broken? When is the last time that you cried? When you wept before the Lord? And he said, and he continued down that road. And you know, as they received that word and the power of God hit that place after, and they had the message they were expecting, but that was the very first thing out of his mouth. This is a man, he's continuing to bear fruit again. He's 80 years old now, he's preaching all over the world. Countless lives have been saved through the fruit of his life and testimony, but that was the very first thing that he said. So this morning I asked Amanda, and I think she was able to get it. It was interesting, and I'm gonna close with this, that I was getting ready to come here, and I was going to put on some other worship that I love, and Keith Green popped up and started playing. And it's a song called, Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. And the funny part about that is God brought me back when he really got a hold of my life. I was a very, very broken person. God allowed that breaking. I was a believer, and he came and got me in a fierce, mighty way. And I'm so glad he did. But at that time, it felt like such a hard time. And I was so desperate for God. And I had $10, I had 10 bucks, I had been laid off, and I went to a Christian store. I was just so desperate for anything. I read the Bible 3.5 times in 1 year. I just couldn't, I just was holding on to God and eating of him and being, and I had my $10, I went in the store, I said, God, I need you, so I was so desperate. And the only thing that was there that was $10 was Keith Green's tape. I never had heard of him. He was very well known. I didn't know that. But there's a song there called, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." And I remember I literally ran out to my car, popped it in, never heard the song. That song came on, and I couldn't even leave the parking lot. I sat there and played that over and over, weeping before the Lord. And, you know, not knowing the fruit, and I was sitting there thinking of the fruit that God, what he's done in my life since then, is incredible. I had no idea. All I wanted was him. All I was trying to do was survive. We're going to put that on. We're going to present ourselves, you know. And again, I wasn't going to say some of this stuff, but God said, no, it's my story. He said, Kim, your story is my story. I was the most broken little girl you could be. Since then, you know, God has had me around senators, governors, multiple presidential candidates. I've tried to get away from the things that he's had me do. I've gone places and done things I never, in my wildest dreams, I've served this church here for how many years? Never in my wildest dreams. I could barely walk in the door, let alone serve in any capacity here. I've had the privilege of ministering to hundreds, along with our healing team members in the healing room. I mean, just, and to think about that. So we are going to present ourselves. In closing, I think God is doing something. I think I kept seeing a loaf of bread. He's baking a bread here today that he wants others to eat of. And if God has spoken to you at all today, why don't we all pray? Who wants to bear 100-fold? God's work in your life, you couldn't conceive of it. You couldn't conceive of it. And it doesn't have to be grandiose in the world's eyes to be grandiose in God's eyes. There will be many surprises in that day. But let's do that. If the song is working, I'd love to play that song. I think it talks about a lot of what we were talking about today. Again, it wasn't planned. God worked that out this morning. And let's, if you want to come forward, if you want to be in your seat, let's do some talking with the Lord and allow him to come and move in our hearts.